Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. Don't forget, those still looking for something to eat at lunch today or just the rest of the week, you're thinking about where am I going to go out to eat? Our lunch partner here on Cody and Gold on Mondays, our friends over at 30 Hop. And today is a great day to go to 30 Hop, whether it's the Lee Summit or the Merriam location. $5.99 classic burgers at 30 Hop. It's your new go-to, an American bar, kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, expansive patios, and an unbeatable happy hour. You can stop in for lunch. You can stay for happy hour. 30hop.com. That's 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio. Again, in Lee Summit and now open just down the street from us in Merriam at the Grand Station Shopping Center there. Nice apartments that are built up there right there. You'll see 30 Hop and great menu, and you will find something for you no matter what you're looking for that particular day. And today's a great day, though, for the $5.99 classic burger. All right, Drew, we'll get to your vacation. You're back from Florida, West Palm Beach. You told us a little bit earlier. We'll get back into that in a second. But I do want to start with some Chiefs. And we know the schedule came out last week, and a couple of the publications have gone through what they are calling the 10 biggest grudge match must-watch games of the 2025 season. Surprisingly, the Chiefs actually are only on one of the top 10. I was a little surprised to see that. But the one game they list is Baltimore at Kansas City as the eighth on the top 10 list here. And that's the week 4 game at Arrowhead. The Chiefs would have already played in Brazil against the Chargers. They would have already played against Philadelphia at home. They would have then gone to the Giants for Sunday Night Football. Baltimore came to Arrowhead, as we know, last year and lost. And Isaiah Likely's toe was out of bounds. And then he had those weird comments afterwards. Like, basically, he was like, well, we'll see when we still don't think they're better than us, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Chiefs went on to win 15 games, and the Ravens didn't even make it to the AFC title
game. Right.
So foolish. We all knew those comments were going to come back to bite the Ravens in the rear. But I agree that it's a grudge match. I mean, the Ravens felt like they should have won the regular season game. If you're the Ravens, the Chiefs are still the biggest hurdle. Just like for any AFC team, the Chiefs continue to run this conference. So I get it. I think, you know, that one would be up there. I also still think, especially on the Bills side of things,
definitely.
Yep. The Chiefs going to Buffalo right before the bye week, for that particular game, that's always going to be viewed as a grudge match. One, Josh Allen, Mahomes, when they play, they typically are classics. In the regular season, I get it on the Chiefs fan side of it, where you're like, well, it doesn't really matter. The Bills have beat the Chiefs in the regular season, and then come playoff time, Buffalo and Josh Allen have not been able to beat Kansas City. Josh Allen's 0 for 4 against Kansas City, so maybe that's why on the Chiefs side of things you don't see it, but I guarantee you by the time we get to that game, even though right now, I'll be honest, like I don't look at the Bills game right this second as anywhere near how I view the Philly game, even though it's NFC, even though I know from a seeding perspective, the Bills game is going to be massive. I think by the time we get there, it will, because knowing what Buffalo's schedule is, Drew, you weren't here on Friday, but we were talking about it. The Bills, this is the year, if they're going to be a number one seed, this is the year it feels like it has to happen for them. Mm-hmm. If not now, then when? Because they have barely any miles traveled. I think they're in the bottom three with Cincinnati, with Baltimore, mm-hmm. as far as fewest miles. They don't play international. Their division is obviously close proximity. The division has Justin Fields as a starting quarterback, Drake May and the Patriots. Everybody likes them heading into this year, but what's the real leap look like? And then nobody's sold on Miami. And in fact, people think they're going to fall off and maybe their head coach could be in jeopardy before the end of the season.
Yeah.
So Buffalo's first 8 weeks or 7 weeks before they play Kansas City, I mean, they could be 6-1. They could be legitimately 6-1 or undefeated going into the Chiefs game. Mm-hmm. So from a number one seed perspective, that game could end up being a massive game if the Chiefs, let's say, are 6-2 or 5-3 or something like that, heading into that Bills game, having already played Washington the week before. Yeah, I think there's a chance you would put that one as a top 10 game of the year.
No, yeah, not just from the standpoint of, like, the conversation is really around as the grudge match, but also, I mean, if the Chiefs have two losses, or dare I say three at that point, and the Bills only have one, I mean, that could potentially swing momentum toward the Chiefs in regards to making a run at the one seed as well. So I think along the lines of it just being the Bills are trying to get back because they can't beat the Chiefs when it matters most, and everything outside of that reason, also just the race for the one seed and being in contention to try to get home field all the way to the Super Bowl is something that definitely makes I'm surprised the game's not in the top 10 because just based on, and I don't know if it's just because, it's not because it's gotten stale, but just years past, the games have always been close, always come down to the wire. The Bills have won in the regular season, but the Chiefs have always won in the postseason, of course. It feels like that game would just be a default top 10 game, regardless of it being a grudge match or not. And then we're talking just grudge matches, of course, Josh Allen, you know, to get back at Mahomes.
I was surprised. So the initial snippet was just from Arrowhead Pride. We were talking about this earlier. I've now gone and looked at the full list. And they do have the Chiefs on other ones. The Baltimore one is the first. They actually do have Philadelphia at Kansas City as the number one grudge match of the entire season. Super Bowl rematch in week two. I know it doesn't make up for getting embarrassed in New Orleans the way the Chiefs did on Super Bowl Sunday. But I think at least from a fan perspective, and I'm sure if you're Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes, you want to prove that that was a fluke. Not that it replaces losing the game and you don't have a ring. You're never getting that ring. But if you're the Chiefs, you have a chance to squash the narrative that's out there that everybody seemingly looked at that Super Bowl outside of Kansas City and said, oh, see, this is what they are now. They're going to fall off a cliff. They're done. Their run's over. They have a chance 2 weeks in, one game in Brazil against the Chargers. And then week two, you come back home. And if you beat the Eagles and you look impressive, I think all of a sudden the narrative becomes, here we go. The Chiefs, they're still here. They're 2-0 or whatever. Versus on the other side, if the Chiefs get embarrassed again by Philly, it's either, hey, Philly just either has their number, or it's like that offensive line still is not fixed. They still don't have playmakers getting open down the field. It's all that same kind of stuff. That's why week two is just so massive. It's not even so much to get back at the Eagles. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You're not getting back at a team that won the Super Bowl. This was the whole argument we would have on the other side when teams would lose the Chiefs. And they would say, well, we would argue with you, Drew, sometimes. It's like we would bring up the AFC title game, and sometimes you would say, yeah, but the regular season. And we would always say, the regular season game doesn't get back at anybody. But I think for a narrative, it has a chance to be that in week two.
Yeah, I think in regards to the offensive line part of it in particular, you're going up against one of the best defensive lines in the entire league. So showing that you'd be able to hold your own, especially as we obviously look at the left tackle in the left guard spot, second game of the season, having it be that big of a deal is something that everybody will be keeping, you know, their eyes on. It's a statement game, even if they, because to me, and I'm sure we'll have the conversation obviously the week of, but even if they were to lose the game, if it's a close one, if it's tight, if the offensive line looks solid, like if it comes down to a crazy play happening in some way, shape, or form, or a blocked kick, whatever the case is, but the offensive line plays well, then there's a lot of things to take, obviously, from that other than just a loss. But I think you're right in the fact that it's a chance to remind people that we're the Kansas City Chiefs and we're still here. It's a way to remind people, yeah, we aren't going anywhere. We haven't gone anywhere. And obviously, if you can argue things the Chiefs way, you know, they didn't have, you know, had a Hollywood Brown that was still kind of recovering from the injury. They didn't have Rashee Rice. So all of the little things that they're going to have in week two that they didn't have, hopefully in week two, that they didn't have in that Super Bowl, it's going to even things up a little bit more, obviously, outside of the Eagles just losing some of the players that they did.
That, of course, is the home opener for the Chiefs, too. So everything that goes massive into game. It, we've looked it up, you know, in terms of the home openers under Andy Reid. Those are typically games they just don't lose to begin with, no matter how it's done and no matter who the opponent is. A couple years ago, they obviously lost to the Lions on that opener after the Super Bowl win. Now, you can always make excuses. We know there was no Chris Jones, there was no Travis Kelce in that game. But
Kadarius Toney was dropping passes.
That's right. That also happened. But typically, they have fared very well in season openers. We'll get to some of the conversation around Jonathan India and where he's at in this lineup, which continues to be a leadoff hitter. Hopefully he's back in the lineup tonight, though, after having the cleats and the spikes up when he was trying to, and he did, successfully help with the double play there. Unfortunately, Contreras went in, spikes up. I'm still surprised it didn't cause more of an uproar amongst his teammates, frankly, but we'll get to that in a second. Meanwhile, Drew, you're back. You're back. You were gone for a couple days last week. You were in West Palm Beach. If you're watching on this Twitch stream or Facebook, Twitter,
I think
wherever,
my camera's, I think it's a little bit dark. I look darker than I think.
Well, it's cloudy
am.
Outside, and so like my camera looks darker too. You actually are tan.
Yes.
You were in golfing seven rounds of golf and everything.
Right,
and then
you
said you almost came face to face with a shark.
I did. I don't think it was the same bull shark that they saw before. So for context, I went to the beach a few times. The one time that my brother and sister, who I was there to see, all went together. We get there. As soon as we got there, the horn blows and red flags raised.
Did your family have their spot on the beach? Are you guys upset that people took your spot this time too? Or
This is only the July trip. I'll have an update for you, a fresh update for you.
Where's that at
early
again?
In August, the Outer Banks.
Outer Banks, that's right.
So yeah, I'll have a good update for you then. But plenty of open space. It was pretty busy on this day. It was very hot in Florida. But anyways, so double red flags go up. We're like, what the heck's going on? So eventually we find out there was a bull shark that was approaching some swimmers out there.
Nope.
And
nope.
Told everybody to get out. So about a half hour or so later, the yellow flag is raised, so just proceed with caution. You know, there's a moderate
risk
out there.
So see, that's what the red flag, double red says, stay out of the damn water. You're going to get killed by a shark or could, in some cases it could be other things, but I guess in this case, the shark. You're telling me
sure.
Then they put the yellow flag out, which is, oh, just keep your eyes open for the shark.
Yeah,
no big deal.
Yeah.
I'm so out on this, Drew. You went back in the water at 30 minutes after there were two bull sharks circling. I love the beach. I just be chilling. you want to walk, you want to have your feet in, that's fine. You know, worst comes to worst, one would have to come up pretty far to nibble at your foot. I'm not going a decent way out there when there were two bull sharks 30 minutes ago. We just think the sharks decided to leave and they're never coming back?
Well, in this case, I don't think the bull shark was there. However, we did go back out, and all of a sudden my sister at some point was like, hey, Drew, come towards us a little bit. And I turn around, and probably from me to you is at least one shark. Apparently, there were two or three of them that were just there together. So I slowly, walked my way out, and we left for a little bit. But 25, 30 minutes later, everything seems to be a little bit better. People are back in the water. We went back out in the water a little bit later. Yeah.
Shark, it's like one of the more... Yeah, no.
It's
one of the most aggressive.
If it was a bull shark, I didn't know about it the second time when I was out there. I don't know if it was that, but you could see that they were sharks. Yes.
No, man. I understand that
very,
there's
very
always the risk
eyes.
Of sharks, and I've been in the ocean. I've gone snorkeling and stuff, and all. Not when you're on the shore, and they said we got to close the beach down for a half hour. Am I hopping back in the water a half hour later? There's just no way, man.
Yeah, we might have been a little bit crazy, I guess.
Were you? Yeah, I guess. Let me ask you: were other people? Were you guys alone?
Oh no!
Everybody else went back in the water like nothing happened. Like there wasn't just this aggressive shark in there.
As soon as the double reds got lowered and the yellow went up, yeah, people went back out there. There were people who stayed out there even though there were double reds. Like, there
oh,
were
well,
some
that's
people.
Just stupid. You just kind of deserve whatever Agreed. Happens at that point. That's Agreed. Terrible. That's Agreed. Terrible. What, I thought the double, are there not, if there's double red flags, can they not force you out of the, I mean, I guess at some point.
That's what we were wondering.
Were there lifeguards there?
That was the reason the horn got blown.
Okay.
But nobody went out there. I wondered the same thing because there were some people that stayed out there. I was like, these people are crazy. I don't know if they could forcibly remove them. I would think that you could, but the lifeguard's like,
I'm not going in that water with that shark. Sorry, you're on your own. That's honestly, that should be the rule. It's double red flag.
You should get out.
If you get in 100%. The water and there's a shark that starts to attack you, we're not coming in to save you, pal. Sorry, you're on your own.
You had your warning.
Yeah, I mean, I understand they're a lifeguard, but in that spot in particular, like, you're on your own. We're not putting ourselves in danger because you didn't follow the rules.
Well, somebody from the 913 says, I can't defend you on this one. Where's the survival instinct? The survival instinct
walked
was
right back in that water.
Yeah, but they were gone. The survival instinct was, hey, they came
back. You're in the ocean. They're never gone. You're in their home. They're not gone. You're facts. The one stepping into their home.
Very true. Very, very, very
man,
very
oh,
true.
Man. And then on your flight back, something that we discussed a couple weeks ago happened, and it's even worse. I had an issue because somebody had their feet up in the air on the plane with their socks on, shoes off. You said somebody was barefoot on your flight. Why is this happening more and more? I feel like it's happening more and more.
That's something I never witnessed myself until last night. I think the person was wearing like sandals, but still, they had their feet.
You should have taken your shoes off.
They had their feet out of the sandals, like they were out. And I dare I say they were touching the plane floor, which I think is even more egregious.
That's just those planes. I don't think they clean those very well. Yeah,
it's not even because for me they had sandals on, like their feet were already out. It's fine. It's not the end of the world. That they didn't smell or anything like that. But what makes you think as an individual, I'm going to pop my shoes off, or I'm going to pop my sandals off, and I'm going to put my bare feet on the plane's floor?
Not giving a damn about other people is what's going through their mind.
This person was moving around. Not that they didn't bump into me really at all, but this person couldn't sit still who was next to me. I felt bad for the person who was sitting in front of this individual because they had their arms up. Like the text line can see me now. So the seat in front, the seat's in front of me.
The guy to your right was
to my left.
To your left.
So he has a window seat already, somewhere to kind of lay his head. He puts his arms up on the seat in front of him and puts his head like on his arms like he's resting. But this lady in front of this person is getting, like, you can see
he's moving her chair.
He's moving the chair. It's like, dude, I almost said something. I was like, man. Pick a spot, dude. Like, we're all uncomfortable on this plane. I'm in the middle seat.
How long was the flight
you
were on?
2.5 hours, which isn't bad at all. It's not bad at all. It felt like a freaking eternity, and I think that's because you're headed home, and it's the second flight headed home.
The flight back home always is longer.
That was why it always felt a little bit longer. But, that was interesting. People were banging Bojangles fried chicken on the plane, and I was like, man, that's a bold choice. And it was funny. I just laughed because I laughed to myself because I was like, man, this is bare feet city, and this is
it's happening more and more, man. It's happening more and more on flights. People just, for whatever reason, don't think they have to have their shoes or socks on. It's weird. Anyway, we'll get back into what's trending here in 10 minutes, get you caught up on a few things. Also, we'll get to your text, 913-586-7965. So, Jonathan India, I mentioned what happened Saturday. I think we all saw it. Contreras going into second base, spikes were clearly up. Gets him in the knee. Unfortunately, India's out of the lineup yesterday. We'll see if he's back in the lineup today. You saw right as it happened, Vinny Pasquantino kind of ran over to Contreras to talk to him. I don't know what was said. Then Salvi came over, captain to captain kind of thing, or at least catcher to catcher, I should say. And it seemed like everything was diffused. And then everybody went on with their business, and that was kind of it. I'm not saying we needed to have an all-out brawl, but this goes back to just the different mentality, and maybe this is 2025 versus 2015, plain and simple, and it's just not going to be replicated even in this. But I swear, on other teams, in other situations, certainly the 2015 team, that wouldn't have flown. Either somebody else is getting, he's getting hit the next time he's at the plate, the next day even, like on Sunday, or there is way more of a, hey, everybody's kind of hopping out of the dugout and everybody's going to start jawing a little bit. I don't know. I'm not saying clearly Vinny had his teammates back. Clearly Salvi had his teammates back. But I just that was interesting to me. And I think I don't know if that's just the mentality of the team. We know earlier in the year when Class A buzzed one by India or whatever. Not just buzzed him by, I believe hit him. Sorry. Earlier in the year, they didn't really, there was no response to, if I remember right, when they went to Cleveland with Class A. So I don't know if that's just this team's mentality. Ironically enough, it involved Jonathan Ia twice. Yeah, right. I'm not saying they're not supporting him, but just it's weird that it's been him both times. I don't know. Anybody else pick up on this? Am I alone on that? Like, I'm surprised that it didn't cause more of an either reaction in the moment from teammates or that there wasn't some retaliatory action the next day.
So somebody on the text line earlier when we talked about this said 2015 team would have resulted. Like if it was 2015, that would have been a fight for sure. I think that there's probably certain lines where to me, I'm more of a, you know, secure. I'm more of a laid back, like reserved individual when it comes to this stuff. But if your teammate gets cleated, like if it looks pretty intentional, like in the knee, it's not like it's the ankle. I mean, the ankle obviously is bad too, but if the cleat's raised up and you're getting spiked, that at least is a result of some, in a result of some pushing.
Yeah, the spikes were clearly up.
What the hell are you doing, man?
The spikes were clearly up.
Yeah, there's at least some pushing and shoving going on. Not just walking over and figuring stuff out. It's, hey,
it was a quick convo too.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's a fight situation necessarily, but there's at least some pushing and shoving going on. Like, excuse me, you're not going to do that to my guy. I don't care who you are. This is unacceptable, and I'm not going to stand for it. That was a moment where you're almost expecting it to happen, and you're.
Someone said Contreras got hit on Sunday. Was that it? Did Contreras get hit Sunday, but did it seem like it was in flat out response? Contreras, let me see who would that have been then? One person said he got hit yesterday. If that was in response to it, I'll have to pull it up and see.
It's not like it was just an attempt either. The fact that he actually got his knee and he had to miss the next day, like I think that would piss me off a little bit.
Someone says, I think it's both. Maybe the team's not the same mindset. Also, there wasn't time to retaliate without compromising the winner game. It was a close game, in fairness, on both days as well. So maybe that's it. How many more times, I guess, how many more times will we see that this year? And there's not we got our guys complete back, right? You know, I was just the immediate reaction that moment. It just seemed like it was diffused so quick for considering it. Your teammate clearly got hurt by it. He didn't leave the game that night, but yeah, the next day he was in the lineup. So I don't know.
Exactly.
As far as Jonathan India as a whole, I know fans are somewhat frustrated right now with where things are at. I think we were going through the numbers overall. You know, some of the power numbers are down a little bit. Not that he's a home run hitter, but he only has one home run. He had 15 the last couple of years. His on-base percentage is not really far off from what it's been as a career guy. His you know, OPS is a little bit off. I think the frustration with him is you gave up Brady Singer. He was your big offseason acquisition. Because nobody else is hitting, everybody's magnified. He was never going to be the guy that carried your offense. He was going to be a guy, hopefully, that could play some good defense on top of it, though. And I think you're now seeing with Michael Massey having to play left field quite a bit. Jonathan India obviously had the air also on Saturday while playing second base. And it's coupled with you got a guy that's your leadoff hitter. He's struggling at times defensively. And I don't think they're going to make a change at the leadoff spot. You know, a lot of people were asking us on the text line, hey, when are they going to move him out of the leadoff spot? Considering the acquisition, considering still, if you actually look at his on-base percentage compared to everybody else, the only argument would be Michael Garcia leading off. And we saw that last year. And I don't think they're willing to make that switch because then where are you putting Jonathan India in the order? All of a sudden, Jonathan India is batting sixth or whatever. I just don't think we're going to see that switch. It would have to be quite some more amount of time before we see something like that.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting. Going back to the fight situations, I think I'm on this side, I think, more. From the 8-1-6, I don't care if it's a close game or not, you retaliate. Like, it's easy to say, yes, it's one game out of 162, and every game matters, individual, and all of that stuff. But if it's a close game, but you know your guy just got spiked in the knee, and it's a pretty serious situation enough for him to miss a game, you got to get at least thrown out. Like, you don't even have to retaliate in terms of, like, hitting somebody. The retaliation should be, I'm pushing and shoving this guy right here who just did this, and that's how it's going to end. Right then and there. And if there's a suspension for a game or you know, you happen to lose the game because you hit a guy or whatever, then I think it's okay if it's a situation like this.
Coming up next, we'll get to what's trending. And I know something Drew wants to talk about as well. We have some win totals out for a little college football. Plus, already national folks are discussing the refs and the Chiefs, and we haven't even got to preseason. I'll explain next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Next.
What's Trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals did drop 2 of 3 over the weekend to the St. Louis Cardinals. They're now out west in 8:45. First pitch here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's On Deck show at 7:30. The Royals will send Chris Bubich to the mound. They'll go up against Robbie Ray, who's undefeated on the season. He's 6-0 with a 3.04 ERA. Now, Chris Bubich has that 1.66 ERA. So we'll see if the Royals out west can get things done. We'll find out later on if the lineup comes out, if Jonathan India is back after missing yesterday's game, late scratch due to, as we were just talking about, Contreras spikes up right into his knee. So hopefully it's just a short-term thing, as the Royals are already dealing with some injuries in other spots. Elsewhere, on a positive end, Jack Caglione called up to AAA Omaha. They're off today, and then they head out west to Salt Lake. But Cags made it to AAA before Memorial Day weekend, a week before Memorial Day, and now I think it becomes real of the timeline if he's able to have success at AAA and dominate AAA the way he did at AA. He's in line to be up in 2025. But, of course, a lot still has to happen for him individually. But obviously thrilled to see he's called up. Also, Frank Mazzucato called up from single A up to double A. So nice to see maybe some good things starting to happen with him. He's got a lot more work to do, of course. But, you know, he was kind of stuck, if you will, in A ball a little bit, wondering would he get things figured out. And he did this year in A ball. So we'll see if he could do the same in double A. Next up on What's Trending, I know, Drew, maybe while you were gone in Florida, you were still keeping an eye on the PGA Championship. Scottie Scheffler.
Yes.
Got it done. What, a four-stroke lead? Or one by four strokes, I guess it was?
Yesterday was interesting because at one point he was tied with John Rahm. It looked like John Rahm was the guy to beat, and then Scottie pulled it together on the back nine, and John Rahm faded, and Scottie won easily. Yeah, $19 million, the winning purse.
Yeah, because heading into Saturday, which was round three, Jonathan Vegas was the leader by two strokes, and he just fell off. fell off completely.
Yeah, that was one. It was a weird tournament. I don't know if you guys talked about it at all on Friday, just in regards to the leaderboard.
We did.
We were saying
that there wasn't much buzz around it.
It was a weird leaderboard because there were guys that you don't typically see up there, like Davis Riley or Jonathan Vegas. Alex Noren, of course, is up there as well. Like guys that we don't typically see leading majors were in the lead, and guys like Rory McIlroy were barely scraping by and making the cut.
Next on What's Trending NBA postseason, we've now narrowed it down to the conference finals. So tomorrow out west, it will be the Timberwolves and Thunder. Then on Wednesday in the Eastern Conference Finals at Madison Square Garden. Man, that's going to be nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Pacers,
yay.
Knicks.
Boo.
Thunder are still the favorites to win the NBA title. The Knicks, I believe, have the next best odds to do so. The Pacers, despite what they were able to do to Cleveland, people are counting them out. We'll see how this series goes.
But
the Knicks have already made some history just getting back to a conference final for the first time since, I think, 2000.
Yes.
But they're trying to break a 50-plus year drought, as in winning an NBA championship. Should be really fun, entertaining. And I do think you think about the four teams. It is fresh blood in the finals, or the conference finals, I should say. So that should be intriguing for some people that if they're worried about it being stale, it's the same teams. No. We got new stars. We've got SGA, who probably is going to be the MVP of the league this year, at least a good chance. He's on one end. Obviously, Jalen Brunson and the Knicks and what he's been able to do. So not to mention Anthony Edwards. So you just go on and on. Halliburton, probably out of the four teams, the star that is lower than the other as far as name recognition.
Agreed.
But still, he's a hell of a player. Although someone asked earlier if his dad is still banned from going to road games. I don't know if that's the case.
I believe he is, and it's more of a Tyrese telling his dad not to show up. I think one of the cool things, too, about this is obviously the Thunder and Wolves week. Could we see a new, like, rivalry sort of spark up with this? But Pacers and Knicks, old-school rivalry. It's on TNT, so Reggie Miller is going to be on the call for every single game.
Nice,
Spike Lee's
nice.
There. I am amped up for this series. It's going to be so much fun. Hopefully the Pacers can pull it out, but we'll see. Obviously, if the Knicks found a way to win the whole thing, that's what everybody, I guess, the league would want most,
sure.
I would say.
I will. I'll be honest. Jalen Brunson's incredible. I like him quite a bit. I think I want the Knicks in the finals, but I'll be honest. I would rather them not win. That goes back to my East Coast sports fan thing more than anything else. But the Knicks in the finals would be great theater. But after that, Minnesota or OKC winning, either one of those would be great. Your Pacers, I think the Pacers will give it a good series. I don't think they're getting swept or anything crazy like that.
Oh, so yes,
but,
certainly.
I think the Knicks ultimately win that series in six.
If the Pacers win, I haven't determined yet. I obviously don't know the parade situation because the Pacers have never won
a title.
Are you
going to go back to Indy for a Pacers championship parade?
I don't think I would, but I would be I'd be very intrigued at the idea of what it would look like. Like, depending on when they win, when would it be? If it, for whatever reason, was on a Saturday, then
it's always a weekday, usually.
Yeah, which is why I think I would say no to that. But if it were a weekend for whatever reason,
Where's the Pacers gear?
I don't have enough Pacers gear, man. I've got maybe two shirts. I'm out here slacking a little bit.
It's your hometown team.
I know, I'm slacking a little bit. Got to represent the 317 a little bit better than what I do.
Lastly on What's Trending, the Eagles have agreed to a multi-year extension with their head coach, Nick Sirianni. Of course, coming off Super Bowl championship. He was on the hot seat entering last season, but to his credit, despite him maybe not being the most likable figure on earth, he got it done. He got it done, and
he deserves
the contract extension there in Philly. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you for just joining us, wondering where Cody is. He left a little early today to make sure he can go to something that his daughter's got going on, so he'll be back tomorrow with us. We'll have the full show, all 4 hours tomorrow with everybody on board. Before we get into a narrative that existed all last season and I guess is already starting and means it's going to continue this year, you are a college football guy. Your podcast is back up and running, yes and no?
I had a podcast last week. We're going to talk about this that we're about to talk about here as well as other things.
So Big 12 and SEC win totals. We'll start with the Big 12. We'll get to SEC maybe later in the week. But Big 12 conference win totals for football are already out. Now, if you're wondering, in the Big 12, the highest win total, that would be the Texas Tech Red Raiders heading into the season. Might surprise some people, but 8.5 wins, over under 8.5. They had 8 wins last season, and now people are expecting them to go after. Yeah, they've spent some money in the portal. Kansas State, over under set at 8.5 as well. Arizona's 8.5. Arizona State 8.5, BYU 7.5, Utah's in there also at 7.5, Kansas 7.5, I'm not going to keep going, but
are you optimistic at the? Do you like the 7.5 for KU?
So I think K-State absolutely should be over under 8.5. It's another year of Avery Johnson. This is a huge year for him financially and beyond, frankly, and how people will view him. He had all the hype, and there's plenty of glimpses. Now it's his team. Like that. Now it's his team in year two. Will Howard obviously had left for Ohio State last year, but it was still year one for Avery Johnson. Like now, this is firmly your team.
And
you have had a chance to develop and get used to this system and everything. So, yeah, I think that should be the expectation for Kansas State. For Kansas, look, Jane Daniels out of the gate. Can he come out swinging immediately? Last year, it took way too long for him to get into flow. We all know how the season started. It was a disaster and a very disappointing season. They have a new offensive coordinator. And can he get settled in this role even more moving forward? So I think for Jaden Daniels, that's what it's all about. Or Jalen Daniels, that's what it's all about. Can he get out of the gate strong? They've got quite the schedule. They got Missouri early on in the schedule in Columbia, which is going to be a huge test immediately. Yep. But no, the over-under at 7.5, I think that's right. Are they going to compete to win the Big 12? I'm not going to get ahead of myself there. I think that's a bit my... He's got to prove to me that he can start the season well. But over-under 7.5 wins, I think that's a fair number.
If you look at the schedule and compared to the win totals, like they play Oklahoma State, they play Arizona, who are lower on the totem pole, UCF, Cincinnati, West Virginia, like all these teams are like 5.5 or 6 or lower for the most part, along with, of course, the non-con schedule.
Yeah, everybody's around the 7.5 mark. Iowa State's also over under 7.5.
I think that's what makes this interesting is you have teams that are, it's not like you've got 10.5 and then you got teams down to 3.5. Like you've got 8.5 to 5. That is the entire league is between 8.5 and 5. And we saw last year, it was one of the best conferences in terms of competitiveness across the board, you know? And I think that's the same sort of thing we could see happen where if some team gets hot, then they could end up winning 9 or 10 games. But if they're, no offense to poke at Kansas, but it's true based on how last year went, if they can't get over themselves and they keep on committing mistake after mistake, it's going to be close game after close game, but little things make a big difference and you could end up going 5-7 instead of 8-4, which is what KU could have been in the same situation last year. I think it is interesting with both local teams in the Big 12 having returning quarterbacks. The coaches are still the same, of course. Having what Lance Leipold has done, there's still that momentum of playing actually on campus, I think, is not that that gives you a win or anything like that, but I think it certainly helps instead of just playing at Arrowhead. I think Kansas can have a bounce back season. I think 7.5 is about right.
So Kansas State, we know, is the
same
first game.
For K-State.
K-State is the first game of the college football season.
Yeah,
they're
going to
play in Ireland against Iowa State. Then, so their first couple games, K-State, Iowa State, North Dakota, Army, Arizona. Those are the first four for K-State. And then the
K-State
game is not till October 25th, but not quite. They wrap up the season, by the way, with Oklahoma State, Utah, and Colorado, which nobody knows really what Colorado's going to be this season.
They're at 6, I think, even on the circa.
They're kind of a wild card team. But obviously, when we get much closer to college football, we'll talk about these teams more in depth. But just the win totals are out. It's always interesting to start taking a look at that. You can bet those right now at FanDuel. Drew's got his podcast already going to get you guys set for the start of the college football season. We'll talk about the SEC and their win total maybe tomorrow or a little bit later on the week, because those, of course, are already out as well. And you can try to see. Missouri is not an interesting team this year, just given the quarterback switch and obviously some talent that is left. But still, the recruiting pool continues to be ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
You see this text on the text line?
What does it say? I haven't seen it.
It said, I just assumed Cody was outside burying the bird.
Yeah, if you missed the beginning of the show, when we first got here, there was a bird flying around the building, like a black bird flying around the building. And by the time we were 45 minutes in the show, Drew came on and said, hey, the bird's dead. So we had a funeral for the bird.
Yes, we did.
And then we found out later on, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, that there were two birds. The one that was flying survived.
Unreal.
That we saw. The other one, we didn't know there were two. That one, the other one that had died over the weekend or something. Somehow two birds got into the, it's not the studio, but the building. If it was in this room, you'd be able to do a show. You would have had, you couldn't do a show.
That would have been.
It just would have been ridiculous.
Have been
the video
comedy.
Would have been unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, it would have been
if
comedy.
A bird just came in right now. Yeah. So One bird down, one bird survived.
We would have to like have the one camera on you and then find a way to get the other camera.
Just move the camera around.
Yeah, have ourselves a bird watch, you know.
Would have been something crazy like that, man. Would have been something real crazy like that. All right, I mentioned that we all know the narrative last year that existed throughout the season on the Chiefs' end was about, the officials are in their back pocket and all this kind of stuff, right? So I know that it's going to come up during the season. I guess I'm just surprised that on May 18th, now 19th, this is already being pushed out there. It actually came from Odyssey's betting network. I do a show on Saturdays, BetMGM network, that airs across the country, and there's daily programming that they have that is all about betting. And one of their hosts, Sammy P on Twitter, was talking about the Chiefs primetime games and how many they have. And so they were taking a look like how to bet these primetime games. And here was his reason of what he's thinking about when it comes to betting the Chiefs in primetime.
Speaking of Kansas City, did you see how many primetime standalone games they've got this year? Eight?
Yes, I did. Eight.
Only eight? And they could have potentially two more if you consider the flex schedule.
Oh, wow.
So nine, maybe 10 primetime or standalone games. You think the refs might hold a little hand in those Kansas City games where they're playing on an island? You know the league wants everything to do with them being one of the best teams in the league. Never will you see that admitted anywhere publicly, but you know the league is at its best when Taylor Swift is in the mix. The refs tend to give the Chiefs the calls, and now they're going to be primetime or standalone at least eight times.
So that's nothing new. We had heard that all last season. I guess it's just weird that this far out, we're already making sure that narrative continues. And that's what it is, by the way. It's a narrative. People looked at numbers. There's some numbers that show that Mahomes gets calls. But then if you compare it to Tom Brady and Josh Allen, it doesn't look that crazy for a starting quarterback of their caliber in the league. We all know the league loves the Chiefs, duh, from a ratings perspective. That's why they're on Christmas and Thanksgiving and they're playing in Brazil and they're all these primetime slots. Nobody's disputing that point. The point, though, that is if the league has told the officials, hey, you know, we need Taylor Swift still to be relevant with the Chiefs.
That's so stupid.
So we got to make sure you guys give us calls. That's where I get annoyed, and I'm sure a lot of you get annoyed with it. Of course, the league wants the Chiefs at this point in time in these primetime slots because everybody is watching. Everybody's watching because they've been good for the last 5 to 7 years. That's why people are watching. If it was New England, we all saw it. It was the same thing. It's just they're the team, along with the Cowboys, that get the best ratings in football. That's just because they are good. And when they're in primetime, everybody's watching. And when there is a bad call and the Chiefs take advantage of it, it stands out. Nobody's watching the random noon Jags-Panthers game when there's a bad call that favors Trevor Lawrence. Nobody gives a damn because you're not watching. But we're all watching. This is stuff that we brought up last year. I just think it's very lazy. That's all. Just very lazy. Look, if you're going to talk about from a betting angle, that's fine. If you think the Chiefs have the officials favoring them, then sure, keep betting the Chiefs and go make yourself some money off it if you're going to complain about it. But just already setting the tone of like, you know, you're never going to hear it said publicly or whatever, as if he's like breaking news, like groundbreaking news. Like, you won't hear it publicly, but let me tell you it here first. This is going on. That's like just more of a philosophy that I can't stand. Just because something is not officially put out in a statement, if you think it's you put it out there, Drew, or in this, you know, this case, he puts it out there, like it doesn't mean you're also correct. Like that there's this grander conspiracy theory around the NFL. It's annoying. We did this last year, and clearly it's going to continue this year.
Yeah, evidently so. I just think that it screams of, and I don't know what, you know, Sammy P's team is, but it screams of, my team's not good enough to beat this team and hasn't been. So as a result, I'm just going to start flailing out, you know, takes of the refs, and, you know, it's the refs' fault because my team can't do it. And I've ran out of excuses that my team can't do it, so I'm gonna pick on other people. You know, that's the, like, you can root for a team and still understand that the referees don't have any favoritism in this thing, or the NFL doesn't have any favoritism in this thing. I think it is interesting, though, that the NFL is like the only league really where it's, if the LA and the New York teams were good, obviously it's great because there's more numbers, but it doesn't hinder the NFL product or its viewership because the New York teams stink or the LA teams are not as good as Kansas City and whatnot.
No, but the biggest stars, I mean, they're where I agree is that obviously the Chiefs are in all these primetime slates. They are banking on them being good again because they have been good for five straight years.
Exactly.
And so they know they're going to bring in ratings. It's not because like if the Chiefs are in week five or whenever, week three, I guess, primetime Giants Sunday Night Football. If the Chiefs are down late, nobody's calling into New York and saying, ah, you better make a call that favors old Patrick Mahomes so they win. Like that's I'm saying, like, and I know some people aren't going to that extreme, but that's basically what you're, you know, what you're alluding to when some of this crap is out there.
At the very least, yeah.
It's lazy, low-hanging fruit narrative crap, and I you guys know I hate that stuff, and I think a lot of you do too.
It's just disrespectful to the product because, and you're also, you know, you're playing sides because I root for the Cincinnati Bengals. If the Bengals if the Bengals were in a similar situation to the Chiefs and everybody is complaining about the Bengals, then, you know, where are you on the other side when the other thing's happening to you? Like if you're rooting for the Giants and let's say out of nowhere, you hate the Chiefs, and you root for the New York Giants. And all of a sudden the Giants get really good here in 25 years and everybody hates the New York Giants and they're blaming the refs. Are you going to have the same stance or are you going to be like, well, you guys just keep on blaming the refs. You know how?
No. And admittedly, people did this when the Patriots were winning. So some of it is just, it's the nature of being the spot.
Yourself, I think.
It's just people forget that you were saying the same thing about the Patriots and it does, you know, this thought that they just want these teams to, yes, the NFL, because of the primetime. Yeah. They would like the Chiefs to be relevant again because of how many games they gave them in primetime. It doesn't mean that there's calls and things being placed.
Yeah.
I've said it a few times already. But like, I truly think what happens is because they're in primetime, everybody watches. We know officials make plenty of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're magnified when they're in primetime. And now because because the narrative is there about the Chiefs getting calls, if there is a call on Friday night in Brazil with the Chargers and the roughing the passer call is in favor of the Chiefs late, everybody's going to say, new year, same old crap. It's going to drive me nuts. But that, you know, people are waiting for that moment, Drew.
Well, yes.
People are waiting for that to happen.
They're waiting for, they're hoping and praying for the moment where the Chiefs where a call happens in their favor or they get, you know, a call. But again, when you have the best quarterback in the league and the best head coach in the league, you're going to tend to get more calls anyways. So maybe draft a better quarterback instead of be the New York Giants and just bring in Russell Wilson and Jameis.
Yeah. Someone says, hey, you guys,
I know we're using the Giants, but we're using them a lot.
Yeah. You guys talking about it continues to give it more life and airtime.
Yeah.
This was on a national show. People in Kansas City aren't talking about it. I'm just telling you that I'm surprised on May 18th, May 19th, that this is already being discussed when people were talking about the schedule. We haven't even seen it happen yet in 2025, and people are already setting the stage for them to bitch and moan about it. That's all. But I hear you. Hey, hope you guys have a good rest of the day. We're back at it tomorrow, 10 to 2. JJ Piccolo, general manager of the Kansas City Royals, going to join us on the show. For now, though, we end things off to C-Dot and Rob on the drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up. but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.